Now we're just at home with the homies.
Yeah, it feels good, actually. Hey. Toward the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. I live in New Mexico, which is like living in the elements. There's really little else. It's just water and a nuclear furnace in the sky and the Rio Grande and hot water under our feet. I have a hot spring in my yard. Yeah. And in the winter, the humidity that comes up, there's a, they call it like a black snow. The heat from the water below the earth causes moisture in the air to like freeze in place, and there's like this weird crystallizing thing that occurs anyway
in the air.
Yeah, and you walk outside and the air has like a density, but it's not fog, it's like more crystalline. It happens very once in a while, but so I feel like I've become a creature of the elements, and I'm gonna start with the elemental breath. So let's just begin with breathing in and out through the nose. You could say our common or earthly breath, and you can feel right away its direction. The breath comes to us as if from afar across a globe. You can see it even breathing in through the nose move through crevices, through blades of grass, or through rock, along mountains and down into cliffs and sinking into pockets. And we can lure this breath to us through our likeness. So as it arrives and reaches the interior and spreads out inside, we might pause a little there and at the top of the inhale, just hold it a moment, knowing that it's penetrating everywhere. And in that breath, the earth breath, is some part of ourselves. So our bone and mineral calcification, fossilization, our nails. The out breath travels far and wide. Might make its way all the way around the other side of the planet. And as we exhale, we can tap into the telluric energy, magnetism, and making this breath more active, a breath of purification, we can inhale in the qualities that we might feel we need just even just today. So might be the wisdom, the durability of the stone, it might even have something to do with being able to harden or crack. Likewise, on the exhale, we can just let a similar aspect go, something outdated, outworn. And with the swing of our breath, we can pause at each beginning and each end, the end of the exhale, and a small pause too at the top of the inhale. And the earth quality has, of course, a very strong groundedness, but a sense of kadus. You can almost feel the vibration, like an earthquake. The plates are always shifting, kadus bringing all back to the one. The earth, in a way, is its own little singularity, its own little system. So holding this contemplation of the earth, a reservoir, a resource, a place to take what's needed and a place to also let something go, let's add to this yakadus. And for this, we'll send the breath. So we know we can send this breath anywhere inside the body or out. So with a tall seat, so our container for breathing is open like a channel. Let the seat be heavy and the bones lift and open, the collarbones separate, the skull rise, belly soft, and we'll send the breath like a sinkhole, like the way that cold air sinks into a crevice of a mountain, send kadus into the lowest part of this bowl that is the bottom of our bodies, into our hips, into our seat. Yakadus, 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 yakadus. Yakadus, 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 yakadus. Thinking of the elements as places to remember so we can come back again and again to them. While before we leave the earth element, imagine yourself a mountain, the center. You are the core, the middle, not the top, but the deep center. And as you inhale and exhale through the nose, see your boundary, which extends out far in front of you like a big Buddha belly. But it also extends equally out to the sides and to the back. Breathing in and out through the nose, let the breath find this dome. And the feeling here, I liken to something I read in the New York Times. A Native American woman who was old was interviewed and they asked her, "How old are you?" And she said, "I am here now." So this is that feeling of sitting in the earth element. Breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth. We'll switch to water. Breathing in through the nose, we can feel the direction is right there. It's rising. So this is the evaporation on earth, the water that gets taken up into the clouds. There's a roll at the top and then a long descent, a beautiful cascading exhale, which is water's direction is always downward. So though it starts with a rise, the direction of water is downward, snow caps that melt to rivers, to brooks, to streams, filling oceans. the most purifying of the breaths. We can see water, its reflectivity, its clarity, the way light bounces off of it. On the inhale, we can take up the qualities of water. We can see them all over the planet and even below in the moisture of the soil. Considering how water is taken up as nourishment by roots. And we can also dissolve the boundary between in and out, recognizing that we are constantly replenishing the water that purifies our body within. Our urine is nitrogen that feeds plant life. We're just one of many filters. And as we consider water, we can take note that the water on this planet is one water. There's only been one water ever, constantly being filtered and changed and cleansed. No one's dropping off more. With this, we'll say Wahabo. Wahabo is the purification that is always raining down, the refreshing gift that's always there. And as a root language, we have the benefit of it sounds like water. It sounds like the movement of water. So together, Wahabo, 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 Wahabo. And the last breaths in water, in through the nose, out through the mouth. Check in, scan, and let go into something that feels right for water. Release something outdated and be nourished as well through the inhale. For the fire breath, we'll breathe in through the mouth, out through the nose. You might notice already the direction is rising like heat, like flame, in through the mouth. Flame transmutes heat to light as it moves upward, out through the nose. The burning cauldron within sends an ash, whatever's unnecessary, carbon. As we consider fire, we can dissolve the boundary within and out and realize our dependence on the nuclear furnace in the sky, which is a million Earths. Which gets up every day in spite of everything. Feeding through photosynthesis all plant life, giving us a delicate, tiny temperature range for life. If we go out of bounds, we create heat within and burn a fever, bring ourselves back to wholeness. Beneath our feet is a molten core. It's hot, we see in volcanic eruption. Take in on the inhale, Raja, heat, fire, what you need. Burn off what you don't, exhale through the nose. And in its finer appearances, heat transmutes to light. So we'll use Yanor, and we'll send it up high, like the flame, to the third eye when we say it. We can feel with the way we pronounce it, a vibration that tickles the gland behind the eyes. Yanor, 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 and we'll switch to the air breath. It's very small and in and out through the mouth. Its direction, like the breeze, is zigzag. There's a sort of drifting quality. The breath that is the most immediate. We can't go very far without it. The breath that delivers the within, out, and the out within, the carrier between the immortal and the mortal. You can feel as we subtleize the breaths, to subtleize, and this breath is tiny. Every breath that comes in actually reaches all of us everywhere at once, bone, tissue, back of our eyes, between our toes, our organs, inside the vertebra, the porousness of the bone. Nothing's unreached by breath. It knows no boundaries. On a microscopic level, it sees just the pores, the space. When we breathe, we can know that our breath can extend out past the rings of Saturn and sit us on the horizon of the universe. And it can draw us back and then sit within. There is no inside and outside to the air breath. The last breath will be ether, breathed in and out through both the nose and the mouth. and it's smaller still. Its direction is everywhere at once, radiating out from a center. Its iridescence. It's so fine, it doesn't even know porous because it doesn't know matter. It's beyond. It's beyond the beyond. It, from it came all the elements. With your eyes closed, I'll read you a poem. Kabir. Student, you know that the seed is inside the chestnut tree, and inside the seed there are the blossoms of the tree and the chestnuts and the shade. So inside the human body there is a seed, and inside the seed there is the human again. Fire, air, water, and space. If you don't want the secret one, you cannot have these either. Thinkers, listen. Tell me what you know that is not inside the soul. Take a pitcher full of water, set it on water, and now there's water inside and out. We must not give this a name, or silly people may start talking about body and soul. I laugh when the fish in the water says it's thirsty. Tell me, student, what is God? God is the breath inside of the breath. You know that the seed is inside the chestnut tree, and inside the seed there are blossoms, tree, and chestnuts, and shade. Tell me, student, what is God? The breath inside the breath. So let's let the eyes float open, but remember when you do, to sit back, remember the woman whose age is I am here now, right? This is our earth breath. That's our earth life. So we can stay home and then just come out a little bit and let the eyes float open. I made a short list, not so short, of some of the things our breath can be for us, can do for us. We can learn about our nature, purify, heal, travel, send and receive information and knowledge. We can change the conditions. We can change the atmosphere. We can protect and shield. Tune, soothe. We can bring nearness, intimacy. Commune. Pray. Explore what we wish to know. Deepen our understanding, dissolve boundaries, reconcile opposites. This is all just our breath. I feel like throughout history, somebody missed a mark and forgot to notice that the magic carpet meme is the breath. Someone forgot to write that down, and we got the magic carpet, but we detached from it that they meant to say, this is our breath. So I thought we would, I've been exploring lately a teaching style of peppering. So just like lots of, saying lots of things, and the things that we need to know stay with us and not going too deep. So we're going to play with that a little bit today. Mechanically, there's no breath if this is a mess, you know, right? Like, what can breathe this? So the mechanics of breath just cannot be overlooked. So let's just go there for a moment and sit with a heavy seat, drop in, and see what a rebounding energy is. So a rebounding energy is a response to this. And when we lift, the lift is as great as the descending seat. It's a response. They're two ends of a spring. So push the ground away with your bottom and then rise up with your heart and open the collarbones wide. And now you've probably created a little bit of an arch in your spine. So take your lower belly and suck it in a little bit and lean back like we're sitting up against a cypress tree, and you'll feel the muscles engage. So this would be a little too much muscular energy, right, for a flute, right? So then we come forward just a tad and oscillate there and look for a balance that has our skull like a cherry on top, just perfectly weighted. And then we know we're there because the belly can be like a balloon and just really in overinflate in an exaggerated way, really fill and empty without our losing this kind of structural integrity. And when you take the breath in this position, you can feel the cavernousness. You can send it around and let it fill up the interior. On a practical level, right, keeping us alive, healing, being in the world, do you ever walk like down a street or turn a corner and your next inhale is filled with something you don't know what, but like someone's spray painting or some craziness is happening, some chemical wonder, and there you are to go at just the right moment, right? So our breath, this diaphragm is a pump, and the very first response is we're pushing the diaphragm in strongly. The inhale just comes as a reaction. This is life-saving. This is taking things out of our lungs and returning it. Yeah, so let's just do this together. You can put your hand on your diaphragm to emphasize it. And it's a strong exhale through the nose, a sharp, strong exhale, and then a wait, because the inhale will just come. So just try a few. Let's just let that out. Exhale, a long and slow exhale. Now that's really active, right, and lively. So that brings us to another breath we can learn, which is, you know, it's not so dissimilar, that activeness, to someone upsetting us where our breath is now, like. So always the extension of the exhale invites the next inhale to be long and slow, just as long. So extending the next exhale, now you're turned the corner, I got rid of this thing. Extend the next exhale, don't lose your rhythm in life, right? Then we're disoriented for the rest of the day. So exhale all the way. Let the inhale be just as long. And it's like starting again. We're back in flow. Next step, never happened. And it's no different really with when we meet someone who is not under control of their energy and in a sense is a pollutant in the moment. And you know, there we are, turn the corner, hello, and this wave of stuff happens. And the body is more than a metaphor for the mind. It literally is linked, and the soul and the heart. So one thing we can do in that moment is the very same thing. Watch your breath in the moment. The breath is capable of creating filters, so you can filter up, change the atmosphere around you, send out a breath that is from ether, which is effervescent, which is filtering, and see it in front of you, behind you, below you, above you. The wonderful thing about this practice is you sort of stop hearing the thing that's occurring because you're immersed in this wonder world of beauty. And then know that you can filter. And when you walk away, if necessary, if you've been jostled, long exhale, next inhale, back in rhythm. If you're hot, like physically hot, I run in the desert, so it's hot. Sometimes I finish my water and I still have a couple miles to go. So our breath so quickly can just cool us down with breathing like a flute with your lips. Take a breath in, feel it on your tongue. Do you feel how chilly that breath is? It's not just an illusion, it is a cooling breath. Far more alluring, of course, is that beneath the breath is the breath we can't see, which actually provides the breath. So the Sufi knows that if we follow our own inhale to its depths and we look for where it turns like a Ferris wheel, we see it trail off, and then there's this moment that's sort of out of view where it takes a turn and becomes an exhale. And at the end of the exhale, if we push the last bit of air out and let ourselves long for the next inhale, it's like a cliff's edge. Right in there is, we've attached, we've linked to the one who provides this breath. When the inhale comes, by no means of our own, we so often walk around feeling unfulfilled, you know, untaken care of, impoverished, poor me. And the breath, you know, the Sufis say, if you want to know your love, feel the telluric energy of the earth, the tug of gravity, the hug. But even more intimate is this breath. Murshid uses the example of that the one is the sun. You can't see it. It's so bright, so luminous, so all-encompassing. And then as it extends out into multiplicity in the longing for us and to know itself, the rays become seeable, identifiable. They start to differentiate. And we can use this metaphor as we exhale for the one who made this body so that it could know itself in the world. Our exhale, we can consider the phrase for transcendence, freedom is form. So when we exhale, let's try exhaling the phrase in your mind for transcendence, freedom is form, and at the end of your exhale, open your eyes. And then close the eyes and take the inhale back in, Yakadus. Everything comes back to the one. Everything returns. That breath leaves, but it comes back. So try on your exhale for transcendence, freedom is form. Open the eyes at the end of the breath. Long for the inhale. And as the inhale washes inward, Yakadus, everything comes back from where it began. On your next inhale, follow the breath all the way in, all the way in, all the way in. Pause there, not with struggle, with the throat open, soft. And consider the size, the scale within. At the end of Kadus. And again, exhale for transcendence, freedom is form. This breath invites us to feel ourselves almost like a relay out in space, like a battery. Do you feel it a little bit? Yeah.
Can you speak with breath and through your nose?
I do, yeah. With this, it seems logical if we're going from the one, you know, the immortal, the formless, into form, that it be the earth breath. And on the in-breath, it almost feels more right to do water for some reason. For me, does anyone have an intuition on the in? I'm tempted to go to water. This might be an ever-changing answer, depending on what's happening. So this is bringing us to this inner space, right, where we can get a sense of scale, the scale within, being as great as the size of without. And also this breath can bring us to presence. So, you know, we're so stuck in a world of representation, fossilized representations of things that already happened. On retreat, the Sufis advise not to journal too much. That would be representation. We're going to a world that's not happening now, right? We try not to read a book because it's going into a yesterday and a fossilized something, but it's not actually presence. It's very hard to sense presence. And yet, you know, we know, all the mystic traditions know, this is where, if we're really present, you know, the color purples might bring me to tears because I'm so here. So the breath, more than anything else we have, is the tool that is always present. It's always somewhere in its direction, going, coming, pausing, but utterly now. So if we become lost, we know we're lost because the world starts to hurt. Everything's very ouchy, you know. Ow, you know. But if we sense that happening, the breath brings us to presence by just grabbing on like a rope or a swing. And then we can deepen that further, that sense of presence, by seeing what the swing brings. When we pause at the inner life, when we pause at the top of the inhale and that spaciousness, like a cliff's edge, you know, standing at the abyss, what we can sense into a little bit here is the breath's quality of always arising. Presence arises. Fossilized things are still, you know, fossilized. the presence is moving, it's arising, it's occurring. That's now. So once we anchor on the immediacy of the breath, we can deepen that further still by feeling the arising quality. So let's just silently go to that inner edge, right at the vastness, and look for a quality of arising. Another way we can use our breath is if we consider Murshid's example of the breath as the of the one as the sun, and the breath as the part of the formless that in taking form moves through each of our layers, so body, mind, heart, soul, and back again. There's a communication delivery through each layer. So I'm bringing the world in, and it's coming in through my body, and then my mind, and then my heart, and then my soul, and then it goes off the cliff's edge. Right? And then I'm drawing back something that also has an attunement, and I'm bringing it through my soul, heart, mind, body. So unfortunately, when we're not present, we're not aware of the one that's coming through and out into the world. So for transcendence, freedom is form is like a nice welcome mat. It brings you right to your senses, right? I'm here, like what can I discover? I'm here, the door just opened. But there's another quality of, we take this so for granted. What am I bringing back? What am I saying back to the one about the report out here? That would be on your inhale, bringing it back. So, you know, at the end of every breath, we have this beautiful possibility of renewal, purification, a fresh breath. Never been here before. It's my first time out. And then we color it with our experience. And we bring it back most often thoughtlessly, you know? So let's, you know, I guess maybe it's anthropomorphizing God for a moment and say, you know, what are we whispering back that's going on here? And what might that mean to say, things are good versus, holy cow, you know? Now, you know, we know. This is also our reservoir for strength and where we can go with our grief and our sadness and our hope and our joy and our fear, you know. But we are like the one we seek. We are its form, and it's creative and being created. And we are its active agents for that process. And it's beyond the tips of our fingers. What do we bringing back in on the inhale? It's a interesting thing to consider it a responsibility, but it's also a practice because we are what we seek. We are what we fill this with. So I can look at the world. Someone sitting next to me can be in hell while I'm in heaven or vice versa. And it's the same world and we're sitting in the same place. So you know, this can be as simple as, what side do I see? Do I see the bright side? You know, we are what we seek. Rumi says, if you seek bread, then you will find bread. If you seek the soul, you will find the soul. And if you understand the secret, you will understand that you are that which you seek. Likewise, our breath is, if we're imaginative, is what we send out to make discoveries and go searching. We can add to the breath our curiosity. If the one brought about manifestation to discover itself and learn what it is, and in every form, in every being, in every moment, now I'm this, now this, now this, what next? There is a curiosity implied there, right? And we can send the molecules of curiosity out on our breath and go searching and send our breath around the things we want to learn about. And likewise, not waste this inhale that we pick up at the cliff's edge and send, that gives us the life, the next moment to live and take a next step, not waste this with a bad report. You know, the report comes when the breath moves through us, the body, the mind, it picks up our report, and then off it goes into the world. But it started off utterly pure, luminous, qualityless, just for transcendence, freedom is form. So, again, there's an implied responsibility that rides on the breath as we exhale. What are we taking with us? What are we bringing from mind? And it shows in our body, and it shows in our form, in our gaze, in our breath. Murshid speaks often of manifestation as magnetism and will. There's a quote here. Harmony is the source of manifestation, the cause of its existence, and the medium between God and man. Harmony, the source of manifestation, the cause of its existence, and the medium between God and man. It's interesting, harmony, because so many things ride this breath, but harmony is the one that is the anchor, the true. You know, it points to so many quotes we see in Sufism about, you know, our ignorance is the shield over the light of our soul. The light is perfect, it's always there. We're never going to change it. The soul is perfect. Our actions really aren't going to tip that scale, but this globe that is our lives is our responsibility. I think it was Yogi Berra, the baseball player, who said, if the world were perfect, it wouldn't be. So, you know, this is what we're here for. It's not like it's not okay when we fall out of this rhythm and send in and out bad news. It's just, can we notice and wake up and stay, you know, hoshdar dam, remember the breath, remember to remember, remember to remember, remember to remember. But it's also what we're here for. So our mistakes is form. Our hearts, our breath, of course, are right here. We, in a very physical way, are thumping. There's a Beck song that I love because of this, which is like, I think he says, our hearts are a drum keeping time with everyone. A beating drum keeping time with everyone. So another way we can look at our breath is to tune to what's happening around us. And when we're in that kind of rhythm, you know, if you just play an E note in a room, a guitar with an E note starts to vibrate, you know, or if you start a bunch of pendulum clocks in a million directions and come back at long, wait long enough, they'll all be together. So if we come into a room and we, or a town, or a world, and observe the rhythm, and then set a rhythm that's near enough to the rhythm around us, and we're willful, conscious, aware of what we're doing, because most people are kind of sleeping, walking in their sleep, we are setting the rhythm. I have a dog that's terribly nervous, terribly, terribly nervous. And when she like gets totally wonky, I just sit next to her and I sigh. I just keep sighing, and I like lean against her and sigh, and it doesn't take like any time at all, and she's just like, you know, it's just that simple, actually. Yeah, you know, if you think about it, we can measure our frequency on I guess it's an EEG or an E, I forget which, but, and humans have like a number, I forget if it's like 7.5 or something like that, and that would be like at a relaxed state, and then we have another number for our like frantic state. And if you apply this across the planet and measure the whole thing, right? Wow. Now measure like a ton of people meditating, like we so often do. You get these world messages, okay, we're gonna meditate on Thursday. And then you measure that and you look at the rest, you know, laws of physics say, you know, at some point the vacuum occurs, and the ones that are like this will just pull in, and whew, it's the pendulum on the wall, you know? So again, you know, it's the responsibility of having a body is this beat is yours to manage. And then its effect on everything around. It's we're rippling out constantly and drawing in. And, you know, it doesn't take much figuring out to recognize when you've walked into a room that's sleeping. And it doesn't take much to bring that room into attunement. And it's just the breath and what rides it. I like sci-fi. So I like to go to the, these are not the Jedi you're looking for. Is that the quote? These are not
droids.
The droids you're looking for. Yeah, like I love like that aspect. This is back to the breath. Because just the same, you can just like, zip your rhythm and just be invisible, just spin right by, you know, if you want to. So, magic carpet, let's not forget. That is the thing. Hosh Dar Dam, remember to remember. Never go anywhere without me. Never go anywhere without me, Rumi said. This is the path of all mystics and Sufis for sure, is how many breaths are in remembrance, and it's the breath that's out of remembrance, that's not the one, that's not aware, that is, you know, what Sufis say, that's the only sin, the forgotten breath. They say the one who masters breath, for them, an awakened life is possible. And likewise, just living a really conscious life will cause the heart and then consequently the breath into rhythm. So it goes both ways, you know. I'll read a quote from Murshid. There are three different kinds of rhythm in the breath. The rhythm, which cannot be distinguished in the continuation of inhalation and exhalation. The rhythm that can be distinguished by the two distinct swings of inhalation and exhalation. And evenness in breathing. So three kinds of breath, three kinds of rhythm. The rhythm which cannot be distinguished in the in and out, the rhythm that can, and evenness in breathing. Those who have not mastered their breath are under the influence of these three rhythms, their health, their mood, their condition in life. But those who master the breath can put their breath in any of these rhythms, and when mastery is acquired, the healer has the key to wind any clock. I'll read it again. Those, and there's another part. Those who have not mastered their breath are under the influence of these three rhythms: their health, their mood, and their condition in life. But those who master the breath can put their breath in any of the rhythms, and when mastery is acquired, the healer has the key to wind any clock. In reality, every disease means something is wrong with the rhythm. As a doctor says, congestion is the root of diseases. So to a Sufi, congestion means lack of rhythm. It may be in the circulation, in breathing, in activity, in repose. A physician, in order to find a disease, examines the pulse, the beats of the heart, the conditions of the lungs. This itself is the proof that rhythm is the keeper of health. And when there is something wrong with the health, the rhythm is, in some way or other, has gone wrong. As when the tick of the clock gets out of rhythm, the clock goes too fast or too slow and cannot give the proper time. One of the ways we use breath in Saluk is we choose a master saint or prophet, someone who has once lived, once been. And I love this practice because we choose someone, realizing or not, that has manifest the qualities that we're trying to bring back into the world. So we see it, and we see that they took it all further. You know, they achieved or made beautiful the same things that we're sniffing around trying to find our way with. And so then we have an exemplar, someone who we can use as an example. And that's guidance. And you can study their life and learn how they did things and, you know, accelerate your way. And one of the ways that we work with Master Saints and Prophets, did you do this? Were you at Slick? Was anyone in Slick? You did in Slick. Did you wind up choosing more later? Yeah, me too. I have like 11 now. Yeah. It's such a great practice. And they're like different facets, you know. Then you're faceting your being. It's like, oh, here's the artist, and here's my peaceful warrior, and I've got Joan of Arc in there. She's the best. And, you know, at different moments, you can, like, bring them to life. Like, I'm holding the hands of Gandhi right now because this moment is our moment, and we got to get through this together. So one of the ways we connect with them while we study them and seek intimacy, because really their essence is still with us, both in the world that it affected through vibration and change and the echo left behind in physical space, but also in the energy of what they created. So one of the ways we work with them is to loop the breath like an infinity symbol. So our breath goes out, meets their breath, moves through their vessel, exhales through their mouth, back to us, and we continue like this. And it's a meditative practice. And yeah, so I thought maybe we would just try that as another, like, just touching in, not going too deep, but just feeling the sense for working with the breath in this way. So one of the qualities we may want to consider doing this is, A, see if there's someone that calls to you, that you even think about, that you may want to know better. And it's a tall order, so don't feel like you have to fill that in, but if you don't want to fill it in, you can also just think of the qualities of something beautiful that you love, that you want to know better. What is the wisdom in the daisy? You can do this with a daisy, right? What is the wisdom in the color indigo? Right? It's all the face of the one. So if a person doesn't rise up, just consider something else that has intelligence or beauty that you want to know better. And then we can't know anything that we don't care about. We have to love something in order to know it. That's the portal, the doorway of our heart. So without that, we're not in the path of the heart. We're just using the mind. So begin with feeling why you chose this being or this being and what you love about it, what drew you. and let yourself well up with a wish to know it, knowing that you can only know something that you love. And then let the breath begin to cycle like an infinity symbol. So in through the nose feels right to me anyway on this one, and out through the mouth. And let the breath be received by the one you love. And in whatever form, see them take in this breath and send it out, knowing that in this visit, they have imprinted some part of themselves, their wisdom and beauty. So when you take it back, you receive it. You know there's something in it to receive. We'll close this particular breath with just a bow to the one that we met with our breath. Because our study is Sufism, we have the wonderful benefit of a root language. So this is Pirzia again stealing my class before. He's taking my classes and teaching them right before I'm about to. But because we have this root language, you know, a root language is like right there, like wahabo, right? It's like, it is water. Wahabo, 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 washing water, afu, afu. The word for forgiveness, that is delete. Delete, sands in the desert, blown flat, never there. Afu, afu. Because we have this, it helps us remember that at that abyss edge to the formless, the one that wants form in order to know itself comes, and then here is this vessel, form, and there is the breath. But when we vocalize, now we've added a lot. So we've added free will, which could scream or could say, salam, right? We are that which we seek. So free will is right there, the gift of being, the vessel for being, the choice. And then as soon as our vocal cords come in and start to shape sound, we're making vibration. That's a vibration. And as we know, pull the E string and the other E string will move. Vibration moves matter. Vibration forms matter. In this way, we're entirely godlike, like powerful. Matter making, matter moving, beings with choice, free will. Now, as the Sufi knows, you know, there's only one will, it's branch and tree, and if we go off on our own tangent with our will, we sort of break from the mold and God knows what's going to happen, but if we align our will, there's harmony. So all of this exists in speech, song, you know, in that sense, we're like a flute that literally moves and makes matter. So it's especially wonderful to remember that when we're about to yell at somebody or when we're about to say a wazifa or pray. I like to use fazl here because it makes us feel like a resonant bell, the practice of the wazifa fazl. And there's a aspect to fazl that I can only liken to cats purring. So some people think that cats purr. We don't know why cats purr, right? We can go to Jupiter and take pictures, but we don't know why cats purr. And some people think it's because they jump from high places all the time and they get little fractures in their bones and they're trying to fuse the bones back there, being their own like rock plate, you know? Who knows? Maybe that's true. But it's a great image for fazl. So fazl, when we intone fazl and we let our breath make us a resonant singing bowl, we can let in fazl's blessing. We can let in blessing to like the darkest, deepest, most hidden, most forgotten crevices, the one that we don't even want to look at. The one that hurt maybe so much that we just like pushed it so far out of range. Yeah. Or just, again, you know, making breath practical in life. I recently got a grant. I applied for a grant. I got it. And it was tremendous for me. And it's going to open up so much. And I didn't want to miss the moment, you know, of thanks. That feeling I felt like that you're only going to feel the minute that you find out. Like that moment is fresh. It's not going to happen again. It's huge. It, you know, if you can save it and like put it in a perfume bottle. Wow. So I thought, well, let me at least like burn it into the soul of the world and not forget my gratitude with fazl and let it go into every crevice, every nook. So I turn into gratitude, that kind of deep. Okay, so let's... Yeah, I use it that way. Does it have more? Does anyone know if there's a wider view on fazl?
Blessing.
Or yeah, grace.
Yeah, grace. Ooh.
Referred to as a bell.
A bell, yeah, the fazl. Yeah. You know, just a funny side note. I was traveling years ago, and I was on the road for like 4 months just doing one of those walkabouts, and I kept looking for a singing bowl, and I couldn't find it, which was so strange. And then, you know, I had like this incredibly deep voice, and I was like laying on the carpet in some apartment, and I was like, oh, wait, I'm the singing bowl. I get it. And then I don't have to carry this metal object around. It was such like a relief. So, fazl. So don't feel obliged to try to go as deep as my sound. Just find your own note, because I'm somewhere else. Okay. So fazl, the cat purr, whatever the blessing, grace, is. I don't know where those are, okay. Fazl, 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 fazl. Fazl. Fazzo. We've been making this fazzle very personal, but since there's no private enlightenment, let's now fazzle out and to the world and send everything we know, the best of what we've got, out to wherever it's needed. Fazzle. Before we close, I'm going to hand out a prayer because I think a lot of us don't know it. It's not a well-used prayer, even though it's of our order. I just remembered one more on the practical, mechanical aspects of breath. Is when we're walking and can so easily get out of rhythm, using our fingers, this is just something I made up, but aren't they all? All the practices are something we made up. Illallahu, exhale. Illallahu, inhale. Illallahu, exhale. And you can count on your fingers. Illallahu, inhale. It'll set you in your longest breath and slow your heart rhythm down and bring you into the most calm rhythm for walking. Illallahu. Both. So, illallahu is the exhale, illallahu is the inhale. And of course, you need only do it a few times and you realize that there's a contemplative practice built right in there. So, yeah, let's send these around. I just bumped into the prayer of Pirzia. Do you guys know it? Yeah, no one seems to. I just popped up.
One that he wrote?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think he read it once, two summers ago in Seattle. Summers.
Yeah, I think that's where I got this, from the Seattle notes. Yeah. I just thought it was really lovely, and it felt somehow fitting for what we were doing today.
I think it's that one, I'm sure.
I think it is, yeah.
It was really touching.
It might not be it. I went to Seattle, so I had the notes.
I took this note.
Good job. So just in the spirit of this exploration around breath and intoning and ourselves as a flute and a vessel, and, you know, not to mention the uniqueness of every voice, the rhythm of every person, I thought we'd read it line by line, each one line. So you'll take the one first line, second, third, and just keep going around till we finish, yeah? Okay.
O you to whom we belong.
To whom we have always belonged.
To whom we will always belong. You who appear to us in every face.
You whose body is the whole universe, whose atoms are the stars.
You who are the harmony between all beings, the web of life.
The great tapestry into which we are all interwoven.
Allow us to sense you, to know you in all that we see.
In all that we hear. In all that we taste and touch and feel.
Let us too know that you are always beyond.
Deeper than every surface, more distant than every horizon.
And yet closer to us than our jugular vein.
Closer to us than we are to ourselves.
Guide us, heal us, remind us that we are you.
That we are within you.
Every one of us another revelation of your face.
Let us walk in harmony with all beings.
From the smallest invisible microorganism
to the vastest intergalactic intelligence.
Let us be plunged in the community of your life.
Let us perceive your innumerable transactions of life.
Swept up in the currents of your glory and ecstasy.
Let us walk humbly on the earth, knowing this as sacred ground.
Knowing this body given to us for our experience of life as a temple.
Let our thoughts, words, our actions always serve wholeness.
Always unite rather than divide.
O you to whom we belong, this whole world is a sign of your love.
And buried in the heart of each one of us is a love for you, the fullness of which,
the vastness of which, we have yet to discover.
Reveal it to us, that we may love you as you love us. Susie.
Amen.
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 It's such a beautiful
one. Isn't it? Perfect timing.